Turning, fuming, he would address Paris Island in general. "Who's got the most stupid platoon on this whole damn island? That's right, me. I got it." On the whole, the sergeants were not cruel. They were not sadists. They believed in making it tough on us, but they believed this for the purpose of making us turn out tough. Only once did I see something approaching cruelty. A certain recruit could not march without downcast eyes. Sergeant Bellow roared and roared at him until even his iron voice seemed in danger of breaking. At last, he hit upon a remedy. The hilt of a bayonet was tucked beneath the belt of the recruit, and the point beneath his throat. Before our round and fearful eyes, he was commanded to march. He did. But when his step faltered, when his eye became fixed and his breathing constricted, the sergeant put an end to it. Something like fear had communicated itself from recruit to sergeant, and Bellow hastened to remove the bayonet. I am sure the sergeant has had more cause to remember this incident than has his victim. 2. It was difficult to form a lasting friendship then. Everyone realized that our unit would be broken up once the boot period ended. Some would go to sea. Most would fill the ranks of the Fleet Marine Force at New River. Others would stay on at Paris Island. Nor was there much chance of camaraderie, confined as we were to those high-ceilinged barracks. Warmth there was, yes, but no intimacy. Many friendships were mine in the Marine Corps, but of these I will write in another place. Here, the tale concerns a method, the making of Marines. It is a process of surrender. At every turn, at every hour, it seemed, a habit or a preference had to be given up. An adjustment had to be made. Even in the mess hall, we learned that nothing mattered so little as a man's own likes or dislikes. I had always suspected I would not like hominy grits. I found that I did not. I still do not. But on some mornings, I ate hominy or went hungry. Often, my belly rumbled, ravenously empty, until the noon meal. Most of us had established ideas of what passes for good table manners. These did not include the thick, sweating arm of a neighbor thrust suddenly across our lips, or the trickle-down-from-the-top method of feeding, whereby the men at the head of the table, receiving the metal serving dishes from the messmen, always dined to repletion, greedily impervious of the indignant shouts of the famished ones in the middle or at the end. Some of us might be disquieted at the sight of knives laden with peas or the wolfish eating noises that some of the men made, but we were becoming less and less sensitive in more and more places. Soon my taste buds served only as intestinal radar to warn me that food was coming, and my sense of propriety deserted for the duration. Worst in all this process of surrender was the ruthless refusal to permit a man the slightest privacy. Everything was done in the open. Rising, waking, writing letters, receiving mail, making beds, washing, shaving, combing one's hair, emptying one's bowels. All was done in public and shaped to the style and stricture of the sergeant. Even food packages from home were seized by the drill instructor. We were informed of their arrival, that the drill instructor had sampled them, that he had found them tasty. "What? Now you are aroused? This is too much. This is tampering with the United States mails." "Ah, my friend, let me ask you this. Between the United States mails and the United States Marines, who do you say would win? If you were undone in Paris Island, taken apart in those first few weeks, it is at the rifle range that they start to put you together again." Bellow marched us most of the way to the rifle range, about 5 miles, in close-order drill. There is close-order drill, and there is route march, and the first is to the last, as standing is to slouching. We had our packs on our backs. Our sea bags would be at the tents when we arrived. We would complain of living out of packs and sea bags, blissfully unaware of the day when either would be a luxury. Then, more than ever, Bellow seemed a thing of stone, still lance straight, iron